Welcome to the Locked On Grizzlies podcast. As always, I'm your host, Mark King. Wednesday edition of the show today. The Grizzlies dropped one against the Lakers last night. It was a late night game, West Coast game. So if you stayed up to watch the entire game into the fourth quarter, congratulations. Your reward is a crappy ass game. But we'll talk about all that and more. Anthony Davis went crazy last night. Russ had something to say about it. The Grizzlies played terrible. And of course, we'll talk about in the last segment of our show, as we start to do every single Wednesday of the week, we'll have an around the NBA segment where we talk to get some news and notes and some things that we talk about happening all around the league. The first two segments, we'll talk about this Grizzlies game against the Lakers. Coming up, all that and more on Locked On Grizzlies.
Pull up jump shot. It's good. Zach Randolph does it again. 3-point game. They've got to go for three now. No choice. Conley for three. Ties it up.
First team all defense. First team all defense.
Here's Gasol from outside. Tony Allen. Shot clock at four. Randall puts it up. Puts it in.
You are Locked On Grizzlies, your daily Memphis Grizzlies podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team every day.
The Grizzlies were terrible last night. They were awful. They were not great. There's no way around that. There's a long way to go with this team. I'll put it like that. There is a long way to go with this team. And this is a game, I think, that we were all a little bit tricked, I guess, even myself, when we all knew this was what was going to happen, a lot more than it wasn't going to happen this year. The Grizzlies are not going to play good. They were not going to hit shots, and they were going to lose badly. And I think the first three games, we got a little taste of what the Grizzlies could be able to do, and a lot of up-tempo games playing well in the first half. And even though they were losing the games, they were still competing in the second half of the game. So this game was so different in the fact that it was just a blowout. It really plain and simple. It was a blowout for the Grizzlies. A lot of guys didn't make shots. A lot of guys just played terribly. And Jaren Jackson Jr. had foul trouble. I mean, there are just a lot of things in this game that didn't go well for the Grizzlies, but this is going to happen a lot more than it isn't going to happen this year. It's a team full of role players. I'll put it like that. There is a few players: Ja Morant, Jaren Jackson Jr., Brandon Clark. Those are your core guys, and Jonas Valanciunas. Those are like your actual NBA players on a real team. You throw Kyle Anderson probably in there as well, but beyond that, you really don't know what Dylan Brooks is. You really don't know what Bruno Caboclo is. He played for once last night. You really don't. I mean, I will throw Tyus Jones in as a real NBA player as well. But Marco Guterich, Grayson Allen, De'Anthony Melton, all these guys, Solomon Hill, even Jay Crowder to a point. I mean, Jay Crowder is a competent NBA player. I won't include him. But all these other guys are really just role players in this league. I mean, that is, and we don't even know if they're significant role players in this league. So you have a point to where a lot of these guys are, you know, finding out what they are in this league, and you run into a team who has LeBron James and Anthony Davis to start off, Anthony Davis is the best big man in the league, period, end of story, and LeBron James is the best player in the world. I mean, there's not a lot there, you know, when you get to into it that, you know, it really boiled down to a lot of the guys looked like they were playing against a really, really good team, and they may or may not be good NBA players. That's what it boiled down to. That's what it looked like to me for this Grizzlies team, and it's going to happen more often than we'd like to admit, but let's get into the game. Let's talk about some individual players. Jaren Jackson Jr., 4 fouls, 18 minutes, 5 fouls, 18 minutes, 7 points, 6 rebounds, just not good. 2 for 10. Jaren was bad last night, period. The fouling is an issue. It's been an issue his first year, and I'm not sure if it's an issue to where you should worry about it, but it is an issue and an interesting thing to monitor for Jaren Jackson Jr. Jaren Jackson Jr. has got to stay on the floor, period. And he has got to be on the floor at all times for this Grizzlies team to be good, for the, to be good long-term. He's one of their best players on the court. I mean, he is the future of the franchise, but he can't be the future of the franchise sitting on the bench playing 18 minutes. Just won't work. Jaren Jackson Jr. has got to play smarter. The fouls under the basket, the fouls against Anthony Davis, when Anthony Davis has already beat you on the dribble and you just body him out of bounds because you've already been beat. It's just frustration fouls. It's just little things. A lot of the fouls can be corrected, and you just have to learn to know when to give up the points. You got to know when to give it up, let them take 2 points, and move on to the next play. The 2 points aren't that important. Your fouls are worth more than those 2 points to the team and to the game. So if you're Jaren Jackson Jr., you have to know when to pull back, when to be aggressive, all those type of things. Is it the fourth quarter and you have one foul? Go and be aggressive. Is it the first quarter and you have 3 fouls? Guess what? You have to just stop challenging things. People are going to start going at you and driving right at you because you have 3 fouls in the first quarter or 2 fouls in the first quarter. They're going to try to attack the basket and get you in foul trouble. You have to know that. You have to be smart enough to understand, okay, I can't take a foul here. If they come at me, I've got to just either move out the way or play, you know, just go straight up. And if they go around me, they go around me and they get the 2 points. And that's okay. We move on to the next possession because your offense means more to this team than those fouls do. More importantly, just being on the court as a big man to this particular Grizzlies team means a lot because you are one of three. Kyle Anderson, not a big. Bruno Caboclo, definitely not a big. Brandon Clark, not a center. So there is one center on this team, which is kind of scary if you think about it. There is Jonas Valanciunas, who did a good job while he was in the game. Had a fan, you know, out of all the people that had better games, Jonas Valanciunas is one of them. We'll get to that in a minute. But Jaren Jackson Jr. being one of the only bigs on the court, if you're on the bench, that really limits you. That really limits what Taylor Jenkins is able to do. It throws off the entire rotation for bigs if you have to come out early and Brandon Clark has to come out or has to come in early. So it just throws everything off when you're forced to play Brandon Clark and Kyle Anderson and Bruno Caboclo against Anthony Davis, JaVale McGee, and Dwight Howard. It's a mismatch you're never going to win, ever. I don't care how bad you think JaVale McGee is, or how bad you think Dwight Howard is, and if they're washed up. And look, don't get me wrong, JaVale McGee, not a significant or good or great NBA player. Just not. But when he's playing against Kyle Anderson and Bruno Caboclo, it won't matter because he's just bigger and he's just more physical and he can just dunk on him. Like, that's really what it boils down to. He's just bigger. And so there's not a whole lot you can do there for this Grizzlies team. So Jaren Jackson Jr. has got to learn. Got to be smarter. Got to know when to just let it go. Got to know when to just get out of the way. That's the most important thing for Jaren right now. Forget about the points. His most important thing right now is staying in the game. It's been an issue every single game this season. It's been an issue in his first season in the league. It's been an issue in college. Again, it's not something you should be freaking out about. It's really not. But it is something to note and something to monitor. If we get to the end of the year this year and we're still talking about Jaren Jackson Jr. fouling out of games, then I'll probably start to worry. I'll probably be concerned then. Right now, it's something to look at, and it's something I think he definitely needs to improve upon. I mean, they're young guys, Ja Morant included. All these guys are young. They're going to improve throughout the course of their careers in the NBA. And this is just something Jaren's going to have to deal with. This is just kind of something that, you know, every player has something they have to overcome, whether, you know, point guards, maybe it's, you know, turnovers or whatever. Jaren is fouls. And that's okay. And I'm not worried about him right now, and neither should you, but it is something to monitor. Jonas Valanciunas, like I mentioned, had a fantastic game, had a double-double in 20 minutes or something like that, 18 minutes, something crazy. Jonas Valanciunas is the best rebounder on the team. And once he gets back to full strength, he is missed right now, period. At the end of games in fourth quarters, I think Peter Edmondson had a tweet. I don't remember if it was last night or tonight. Go look it up. And I don't know the exact stats, but they played great in the first half of games, played terrible in the last half of games, specifically fourth quarters. And that has some that has some continuity with Jonas Valanciunas being on the bench. Jonas Valanciunas being the only big. The Grizzlies played well in the first two quarters last night. But guess what? Jonas Valanciunas was out there to help with playing against Dwight Howard or JaVale McGee or Anthony Davis, those bigs on the court who are just gigantic and big guys. And Jonas Valanciunas is down there to bang with them. And you have Jonas and Jaren, two competent big guys on the floor. That changes the game drastically. And what happens in the third quarter when you don't have Jonas and you don't have Jaren, you have to play Kyle Anderson and Solomon Hill at the three and or four and five? Like, you guess what? The Lakers score 39 points, and Anthony Davis goes to the foul line 27 times or 18 times in the third quarter, which is stupid. And we'll talk about that in a minute as well. But Jonas Valanciunas, fantastic game. So I can't wait to see what he's able to do when he gets actual minutes. He's getting 30 minutes a game. Like, he might be able to average 15 rebounds a game with this team. I mean, he might be really average quite a bit of rebounds with this Grizzlies team. There's just so many to be had because a lot of times he's the biggest guy on the floor, obviously, and he's just able to scoop up every bit of rebounds. So, and they miss a lot of shots. So there's a lot of opportunity for offensive rebounds for Jonas Valanciunas. But again, he finished with 11 and 14. I thought he played great in the minutes that he was given. I thought he was very, very sorely missed in that third and fourth quarter last night, especially when his minutes just kind of got soaked up and he had to exit the game. I thought he was really missed. I think he's been missed in every single fourth quarter throughout this short season. So I don't know what his minutes restriction is going to be. I don't know what it will ramp up. I don't know any of the particulars on that. Maybe we'll ask David Kopp. He'll be on the show tomorrow. Maybe he knows more. He was around the team in L.A., so maybe he'll get some more clarity on that as well. We'll take a quick break. We'll be right back. We'll talk about all the rest of the players on the team, John Morant, Dylan Brooks, those guys, how they played. In the last segment of the show, we'll do our segment all around the NBA with some topics from across the league. Welcome back to the show. Talking Grizzlies, Lakers last night. John Morant, I thought was okay. I really did. He was just okay. There were a lot of times last night he was not involved in the offense. To be fair, there was no real offense last night at times. There was a lot of coming down and jacking up threes, looking at you, Dylan Brooks, and Solomon Hill, and Grayson Allen. So, like, he wasn't great. He was a lot of standing around. You got to be aggressive. You got to go back to where you were against the Nets and demanding the ball and attacking the basket. There were times last night where he did attack the basket and he did go hard to the basket. A lot of times he got fouled and didn't get called. There are a lot of calls that just were baffling last night. A lot of calls that were not right. A lot of calls that were missed. But John Morant, I thought he was decent. He was 16 points. Only 2 assists, 4 turnovers. There were some parts in the game where he was trying to force things, and I think that's going to be John Morant's downside, I believe, is trying to do too much. Knowing when to be aggressive and pull back and knowing when to pick your spots will something that he'll learn, but I think being too aggressive, trying to force things too much will be something that he'll struggle with. And he did a little bit last night. There were bright spots where he drove to the lane and got right by people too. So I thought he was okay. He was not, definitely not bad. Not one of the bad ones. If anything, he was one of the lone bright spots of this game. Still a +9 and the +-minus after all that. But the bench, to get to the bench, other guys, Dylan Brooks, he was mediocre. It was just meh. It wasn't bad. Wasn't great. 2 for 7. Didn't take a lot of shots either. But the bench was atrocious. The bench was just not great. Tyus Jones, really not good at all. Didn't have any turnovers really, but didn't do anything. He played 16 minutes, had 4 points and 2 assists. And was 2 for 4 from the field. Just not great. Bruno Caboclo got in the game late, as you mentioned, because of foul trouble. That's the only reason he got in the game, was because of foul trouble. Marco Guterich was the first guy up off the bench. So that was interesting to see. It wasn't Solomon Hill. It was Solomon Hill finishing the game the previous night, or previous game, and then Marco Guterich off the bench as well. And Marco Guterich was not great. I mean, he was awful. He was 0 for 5, 0 for 4 from 3, 0 points, 23 minutes. Just terrible. As good as Jonas Valanciunas was in his 23 minutes, Marco Guterich was equally terrible. I mean, just did not play well at all. Brandon Clark was the only bench player that played well. He was fantastic, as he has been previously. He was not great. I would say he's not fantastic. He was not great on defense, but offensively, he's still so smart. He had, again, like we talked about after that Nets game, there's still that struggle with that free throw line area. Does he shoot the floater? Does he pass it? Does he shoot a jumper? It's like in the middle, like for him, he doesn't really know exactly what to do either. Like last night, he got it there and he kind of froze and had to scoot in to shoot. You know, they gave him space, so he scooted in to shoot a floater and it missed it. So like, just very, very weird. You know, he's a rookie, so I give him a pass on. Same thing with Gooders. Like, they've got to just make a decision quicker. Like, that's really what it just boils down to. When you get the ball at that free throw line, you got to know, like, this is where I shoot it from. This is my spot. Or this is not my spot. I'm going to keep swinging the ball or whatever it is. So I thought that was interesting to note from Brandon Clark. Solomon Hill was Solomon Hill. I mean, I know that Solomon Hill had a great game against the Nets, but let's not forget that Solomon Hill is like not a really good NBA player. Like, he's just not. Like, he got traded for Chandler Parsons, a guy with two broken knees. So if that tells you anything about Solomon Hill and Miles Plumlee, that should tell you everything you need to know about those guys. Like, just whatever. Like, they're 9 or 10 and 11 and 12 guys on a regular team. On the Lakers team, it would have been like Jared Dudley, who got in the game like for a second and then went right back out. Some weird, like, I didn't even know Jared Dudley was still alive and playing basketball. Apparently he is on the Lakers. So like, if you think about Solomon Hill on the Lakers, think about Jared Dudley, not even in the game, 10th, 11, 12 minutes. But for on the Grizzlies, he is playing 13, 14, 15 minutes a game. And it's just, okay. So like, don't expect Solomon Hill to come out and do things to win basketball games. Like, he had a good game against the Nets. Yes, that's awesome. It's fantastic. But that is not who Solomon Hill is, and he's not consistent. Just not going to do it. It's not. And so don't expect that from Solomon Hill. Expect what you saw last night, a very mediocre game from a guy who's just a mediocre NBA player. Kyle Anderson, I thought, was meh as well. Just didn't do much. Just nothing there. I mean, you know, the bench, Grayson Allen and Brandon Clark scored 23 points off the bench. Everything else came from Solomon Hill and Kyle Anderson and Tyus Jones. And that's, 14 points from all three of them. Just, it's not enough. Just not enough for you to do ever win in any NBA basketball games. Just, you know, they were 7 from 34 from three. Like, just awful. Just awful. I mean, both teams really struggled, but the Grizzlies really just struggled to make shots last night. And that's going to happen a lot this year when you have a bench like you do, full of young players or questionable players who are playing big minutes. You're going to have times when you just don't make shots. And you're going to have a lot more of those games, probably more than you like for this Grizzlies team. And so, yes, it was disheartening. Yes, it was amplified because of the team that they're playing, the people they're playing against. And so that was amplified because it's a good team, it's a good players. But there's going to be plenty of games where the bench just doesn't hit shots. Even if the starting group plays well, even if Ja plays well, even if Jaren is in the game without fouling, even if he's playing well, Jonas is playing his full amendments, there's just going to be times when, you know, the bench just doesn't hit shots and they struggle to win games because of that very reason. So I would say it's a fact of life right now. And this is what developmental basketball looks like right here for the Grizzlies team. And it's going to be a lot of games like that, but that's okay. Hopefully Ja Morant will, you know, be better. Hopefully Jaren Jackson Jr. will turn the fouls around. Those are all things you want to look for. And you want to try to figure out what are the NBA players you have, just like we talked about every season, every show leading up to this season, every pregame, all this stuff. Just got to figure out what you have. I thought, honestly, like, Grayson Allen took a lot of shots. He was 4 for 14, 1 for 6 from 3, you know, like, but he's the best player off the bench, played 21 minutes. So it will be interesting to see what happens. The Grizzlies don't take on another team until Saturday night against, I believe, the Suns. They put the Suns on Saturday night, coming at home in town. Game day will be here. Tigers, for the Memphis Tigers, will be playing football at SMU at the same time. So it might be a rather empty stadium. But either way, if you want to see the Suns or you want to see Ja Morant in person, next time they play is on Saturday after Halloween, after the holiday festivities. So go down there and take a look. After the break, we'll kind of do our Around the NBA segment. And yes, our Around the NBA segment has a little bit to do with last night. We'll talk about some storylines from across the NBA and more coming up next. Welcome back to the show. third segment in every Wednesday show, we're going to be doing something called Around the NBA, where we talk about storylines from across the NBA and get your thoughts on some overall NBA things happening, you know, that are just fun and good to talk about, whether they're, you know, whether they're new storylines, old storylines, any of those type of things. We're going to talk about it all here in the last segment of this show. And this particular Around the NBA has a lot to do with what happened in this Grizzlies game last night. As you noticed, I have not mentioned the fact that Anthony Davis took 27 free throws last night. I haven't mentioned that. And there's a reason for that, because I was saving this topic for this segment. First of all, there is no reason for any player to ever take 27 free throws in a game. Like, if you're celebrating the fact that Anthony Davis had 40 points and 20 rebounds against Bruno Caboclo and Kyle Anderson, I mean, really? Like, what did you expect was going to happen from Anthony Davis against those guys? Like, really? Like, if you're a Lakers fan and you're celebrating the fact that Anthony Davis went for 40 against Bruno Caboclo, a guy way smaller than him, against Kyle Anderson, a guy who is not as good as him, I mean, he's better than everybody on the court in this game, and you're celebrating the fact that he went for 40 against guys who were not even close to being power forward. Like, if you're celebrating that, you know, like, that's sad. Honestly, it really is sad. And 27 free throws? Really, NBA? Like, 27 free throws. Really. Like, you'll never be able to convince me that someone has been fouled enough times to warrant 27 free throws. Ever. Like, yes, he was probably fouled a lot. I get it, because Kyle Anderson, is all he can do is grab. And Bruno Caboclo, all he can do is grab at him. Like, and Brandon Clark, all he can do is grab this guy and pull him. Like, I get it. He's probably fouled a lot. But 27 times? Really? 27 times? 40 points on 7 shots. 7 made field goals. 40 points. It's just absurd and ridiculous. Like, do you think people really want to watch Anthony Davis go to the free throw line 27 times? No. Nobody wants to watch that. Ever. Like, you'll never be able to convince me ever, ever, ever that he got fouled that many times. There are a lot of bad calls. I get it. Also, like, just let shit go. Like, who cares that he's getting to the basket? I mean, there's a point where you just let him go. And it just makes no sense to me why you would call that many fouls on that guy that many times. It's insane to me. Like, that is insanity. Do you let someone go to the free throw line 27 times? It's bad basketball. It's downright shitty basketball. It's bad to watch. No one cares about watching 27 free throws. It's the same reason I hate watching James Harden play. It's the exact same reason, because all he does is foul hunt. And no one wants to watch that. Like, if you want to watch that, I don't have any interest in watching basketball with you, because that is just a bad, bad version of basketball. It just sucks to watch someone try their best to jump sideways into, or forward or backwards into, a defender, or watch Anthony Davis literally get so many superstar calls. It's insane. It's crazy to me that amount of fouls got called on one person last night, and he's got 40 points. On 7 made baskets, 40 points on 7 made baskets, 26, over half of those are coming from the free throw line, in which I'd probably say half of them are probably not even correct fouls. That is crazy to me. The other part of this Around the NBA segment is about Kyrie Irving. Kyrie Irving is apparently in a funk at the Nets. He is on his third team in a very short time. It's a team that he picked himself, that he wanted to go to. There's an article on NBA or ESPN that came out about Kyrie Irving's mood swings and how he gets in a funk and it's hard for him to get out of, and no one really knows why. Now, Kyrie Irving is a guy who was on the court with LeBron James, the best player in the world. Won championships with him. Well, championship. Didn't like it, though, for some reason. Didn't like the fact that he got to win a lot with LeBron James, got to play easily with the best player in the world. So he goes to Boston. Boston, he has the same problem. Now he's at the Nets, and it's coming out that now he's got more problems. There's a point where you have to look around, all around you, and realize that maybe it's not them. Maybe it's you. I like Kyrie Irving. I think he's a great player. But Kyrie Irving, kind of take a long look around everything that's happened. 3 teams, common denominator is you, buddy. You got the choice to where you wanted to go. You got the choice to what you wanted to be, where you wanted to be, and who you wanted to be there with. You chose the Nets, and now you're in a funk, and you don't like it. Guess what? We're 2 weeks into the season. It's going to be a long road for the Nets and Kyrie Irving because he is a guy that is quirky and a guy that maybe has issues. I don't know, but there's a lot of times where you just have to look inside of yourself and figure out that maybe it's me. Maybe it's not you. And I think that's where the Nets are with Kyrie Irving. It's going to be very interesting to see what they're able to do. But are you surprised with this? Really? Like Brooklyn fans, are you really surprised with this is what you're going to get from this Kyrie Irving? Because he did it at the Cavs. He did it in his very short time with Boston, which, by the way, was a good team when he got there. Was a good team. Now, they had their own problems, but was a good team when he got there. And now, all of a sudden, this is shocking to a lot of you. I don't know how to help you there because this Kyrie Irving has always been the same Kyrie Irving. Says dumb shit, says weird things, and apparently is a weird guy to get along with as far as all his teammates are concerned. So I wouldn't be shocked if I were you with Kyrie Irving and the Nets. It's something that I don't find shocking at all, considering the fact that it's happened every other place that has been in. If you enjoyed the show today, make sure you subscribe to the show so you don't miss a show every single day, whatever podcast platform that you choose, whether that's Spotify, Stitcher, Overcast, or Apple iTunes. If you're in Apple iTunes, please go rate and review the show. It really helps out the show in the iTunes rankings, and we'd really appreciate that. If you still don't know where to go after all that, just go to LockedOnGrizzlies.com.